Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, which is our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin, who's in exam today, trying to get her broker's license, so we'll miss Teresa. But buying and selling homes, land or farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street, next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes, and our company website now is www.allsuttonproperties.com, allsuttonproperties.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. So our guest today is Jeff Huddle. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
He's Hurdle. Yeah, Jeff Hurdle.
That's me.
That's him. You're a new accredited land consultant, right?
That's correct.
And yeah. Welcome aboard. Yeah, we're, I don't know the last count, but we're probably somewhere around 440 maybe ALCs something in the country.
Like,
and so welcome to the family. And you're a broker owner of Huddle Land and Realty, and your office is in Lebanon, Tennessee.
Well, I've got two. I've got a Huddle Land and Realty in Loganville, Georgia, as a real estate development finance company.
Right, we're going to talk about that.
I've got a brokerage firm, also Huddle Land and Realty, and I'm in Lebanon, Tennessee, which is where I live.
Gotcha. Now, that's what, kind of near Murfreesboro?
That's correct. About 20 minutes outside of Nashville, 20 to 30, depending on how you drive, and then about the same distance from Murfreesboro.
Yep, just good old beautiful rural Tennessee, right?
Exactly, right in the middle of it.
Yep, what a great state. You got a BA in Humanities and Business between 1987 and 91 at Lees McRae College. How'd you get there?
Oh, gosh. Well, I went to Riverside Military Academy for high school.
Right.
And during our senior classes, our counselor just told me I need to come in and figure out where I was going to go to school. And I didn't have a clue. He knew I loved to teach. And so he actually suggested that I go to Lees McRae. And because it's located in the little town of Banner Elk, North Carolina, between Beach and Sugar Mountain ski resorts. So that's really how I got there.
I was, not to be braggadocious, but I was state champion in the 100 and 220 in my junior, senior year at Myers Park in Charlotte. And one of the people that trained me was Chunk Floyd Simmons, who was in the 48 and 52 Olympics in the decathlon against Bob Mathias. He was a silver medal winner both times. And among others trained me, but they had started Grandfather Mountain Highland Games. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh, quite.
And
they wanted me to
participate up there and asked me for a couple years, and I didn't have any interest in it. They had the Scottish Games, but they also had the AA regular track and field events too. But anyway, Chunk talked me into coming up, and guess where we stayed? Lees McRae. Lees McRae.
Right on campus.
Probably stayed in your dorm.
You probably did. They open that up every year. They're still doing it, too.
Yeah, this is like 1971. I think I ran a 9.7 and 100 and held the record, and then it was tied years later. And, of course, then they went to meters, so I don't know where it is now. But I went up there for a couple years and just loved it and got all involved with the Mortons, all of them. Granny Morton, I actually drove her a Rolls Royce from her castle down there at Embershill and up to the games one morning and stayed at Julian's little castle there, right there in the corner as you turn. But some great times. What a great school. Beautiful
it's
campus.
Great school and beautiful area, but West North Carolina Mountains. They're just, they call me back every so often. I get up to campus. In fact, I made it up there next month for a weekend.
What type of population they have now?
The campus, the students, about 800 to 900, I believe.
Yeah, small school.
Town of Banner Elk, yeah, I'm not sure. Without the school, it probably wouldn't have a whole lot going on. But beautiful place, beautiful place.
So you got your ALC, and then the Tennessee chapter made you president. That's pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of a glutton, I guess, Lou. I joined RLI and then learned they were having the National Land Conference in Nashville that year.
Right.
I went and met, of course, a whole bunch of people, great people.
Unbelievable.
Too. And one of them was Bob Turner. And he and I started talking about, he had been the national president, he had been the state chapter president. And he was kind of acting state president, but wasn't really. And we started talking, and, they had a vote, and here I am.
There you are. And thank you. You've done a great job for him. Yeah, Bob was on the dais with President Trump last month, a couple weeks ago, I guess. He was part of the Opportunity Zones Committee for the NAR and represented as well.
Bob's we just had a state chapter meeting yesterday in Memphis, and Bob was there at the presentation with him telling about that experience with President Trump. It was quite an experience for him and great for the realtor.
Yep, he's well deserved. I hope he becomes our national president one of these days. I hope he's working up there. He's probably one of the most incredible and talented people we have in the organization. We've got a lot of them, believe me. Bob's contributions over the years, and I think I took my first class with Ned Massey in Winston-Salem in 1997. It was the old subdivision class, and after taking that two-day course, I ended up developing over 60 rural subdivisions because I had the confidence and the knowledge, you know, of course I learned as I went, but I had the base knowledge, and that's what the Wilters Land Institute teaches you. And, you know, I'm one of the instructors. When Land 101 came out in 2003, I went to the mid-year in Washington the day early and sat through the class, and I've been teaching it ever since. I've got a class coming up in Charleston. We got our ALC conference right behind that in next month.
And I'll be there.
And then the Oklahoma chapter just invited me to teach out there, the two-day class, and then I've got one scheduled for sometime this fall in Nashville. So I love teaching, and we have the new course. I haven't taught the new version of the course, and I'm real excited to. I've been studying it on it. It's going to be totally different, more modern presentation, more interactivity with the students, and we're rewriting all of our courses, and I think we've got two or three left to finish, but with the new format.
I think they've actually finished. They finished all of them, and have added recreational land class now.
Oh, okay.
We're actually Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas are getting together in September and offering that, to anybody that wants to attend. But
sure.
That's a 16-credit-hour course.
Yep.
Towards the ALC.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you don't have to be a real estate agent or a realtor to take any of our courses.
That's correct.
Over the years, I've had attorneys, I've had developers, I've had appraisers, foresters, soil scientists attend the classes that I've taught all over the country. And, so just let the public know, it's on my website, letstalkland.net. It's got a direct link to the RLI classes, plus it's got a link to my classes. I created a four-hour class for the state of North Carolina a couple years ago called Introduction to Land Brokerage. It's a four-hour class. I'm going to be teaching that in Charlotte in Brunswick County, North Carolina. When's that coming up? I think that's in November or October. And
I took advantage of the land use in Texas last summer when I got my ALC. I'll tell you, that tax deferred 1031 exchange class, that one will run you ragged.
It will.
It had a lot to do with that. Oh my! But it was a good time.
I spend in the old course. I haven't really studied it, but in the old course, I teach the 1031, 1032. I think it's probably 30 minutes of the syllabus. So we just kind of touch in the basic stuff. But that two-day course, like you said, it'll – and I've done a class – the instructor for that class, I've had him on our show. So a lot of resources on letstalkland.net. We've done we're getting close to 70 shows here. Let's talk about you, because this is your commercial about you and your company. And
okay.
We want to give you an opportunity to tell the listening audience who you are and what you do. And I think you're, third generation realtor? Is that right?
Third generation, that's correct. And currently I have two daughters, and one of them is licensed. which makes it a fourth generation. The other one does work in the office, so I can say now four.
There you go.
But my grandfather was, after he got done with the cotton, soybean, and black Angus business back in the, I guess it was the late 60s, he decided to get into the land business, and that's what, you know, got my dad into it. And, yeah, we've just enjoyed it. It's kind of in our blood. Farming was the old school, and then it turned into selling the farm.
That's what he did. Yeah. My dad was in real estate. I'm in real estate. My daughter and son-in-law have license. I just changed the name, actually, for my two grandsons, 1 and 3 year old, to Sutton Properties, which is my son-in-law's name, to build that brand. And you know, right now we're three generations, and hopefully in the future be four. So we're right behind you. It's good stuff.
There you go. It is. But I've got two businesses, Lou, and it kind of confuses some folks, but Fertile Land and Realty is the name of both of them. One's a Georgia company, one's a Tennessee company.
Right.
Totally different things. Out of Georgia, we've got a development office, and in Tennessee, I've got my brokerage firm. But we are a development company since about 1969, when Dad kind of started up officially. He founded it, and what we do is we develop rural property for people and offer finance, owner finance.
Yeah, we want to talk about that in more detail today.
Yeah. His philosophy was that owning a part of America was part of the American dream, owning your own land. And he wanted people to be able to do that. And that's how they started getting into it and never let up. I got my license in 92. We had business. We did it in South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, and North Carolina. So in 92, when I got my license right out of college, I went to South Carolina and managed the development side of the business there, finding properties, you know, getting the infrastructure done if need be, and sales. 96, I moved to Georgia, and there I managed Georgia and South Carolina markets. Was taxing on a young guy starting a family, driving up and down the interstate, but did that and continued with the development, continued the financing, and then fiddled around in the manufacturing housing side of it as well. But that was what most of these properties ended up doing. They were developed for people to buy. We'd finance, and they, you know, manufactured housing in those areas was pretty strong. So that's kind of the brief history of how it started and where I was been.
What was on your website, it said something, you know, you develop rural farmland and offer financing to those who want it on ag-zoned land. What are you talking about there? And generally allow for manufactured homes and other housing options.
Yeah, well, ag-zoned, agriculturally zoned property.
Okay, rural ag.
Rural ag, and when you have, you know, in a lot of areas, you know, 3, 4, 5 acres.
Right.
You don't have to go through any kind of rezoning if they even have rezoning. Some counties we deal in were so rural, there are no zoning. But when there are, generally, if you're a minimum lot size, 3 or 5 acres, you can keep it zoned ag and they'll allow you to have a home on it.
Right. And
you can farm it. And we allow agribusiness. It's the only kind of business we allow on any of our lots. And then, of course, we allow you to build a home or any manufactured home, farm it. We've had a few people just buy 5 or 10 acres, plant trees as an investment.
Sure.
And walk away from it.
And the developments I've done here in North Carolina, I haven't done any in Virginia, but in these northern, western Piedmont area, it's 10 acres or more is the subdivision ordinance. So as long as you stay 10 acres or more, you don't have to go before the government and build paved roads. And, you know, and then we have a minor lot subdivision. Some counties are up to 4 lots, some are 5 lots, at least an acre, that you can go just to the planning board director and get approval for it without going through the formalities. But, you know, people say they're not making land anymore. You and I have been making land for years. You know, you take these large tracts and break them up, and, you know, because the average person, you know, that 5 to 10 to 15, 20 acres, you know, by they spend $100,000, $200,000 sometimes, and then they build a house, you know, you're talking about a $400,000 mortgage. So it's not for every person. So that's creates that opportunity.
Yeah, we're making land. You're right. We're taking 100 acres, making 20 individual pieces of property for people to come out and buy.
So we're talking to my good buddy here, Jeff Hutter. This is Let's Talk Land. Jeff, what does it mean to be an ALC?
Oh, well, it means a lot to me personally. It was a lot of work. The process is daunting. There's I think it's 104 or 114 hours of coursework and about, well, in 7 courses the way I did it. Each one has a final exam, and then you have a comprehensive exam, and you have to pass all those. And then you have to have a book of business at a certain level.
It's $10 million, right?
$10 million in sales in a period of, I think it's 5 years. And so, and honestly, you know, that's a lot of work, but that's easier than some of the education stuff.
Right.
Some of the classes were good. But at any rate, it's a small group, as you said earlier in the show. There's not that many of us.
About 1,300 members.
Of 1,300 members of the Realtors Land Industry.
That's correct.
As far as ALCs, there's you know, sub 500, or maybe I think we may have broken that, but that doesn't matter. What they are, they're there, and this is not about me. This is about them. They're professionals. They're the most prestigious, the most experienced, the highest performing people in the land business in the country.
Yeah, they are.
Education was rough, but the people that do it, they do it because they love the business. So I'm proud to be part of that group of people, but mainly because of who I get to deal with.
Yep.
What it's done for me as a member of RLI, I mean, it's, as soon as I joined and got to start knowing people, it made my phone ring. And that's, you know.
That's what it's all about, right?
The more
they say in our industry, the more education you get in real estate, the more money you make. And I'm going on, 27 and 28 years, I'm not sure, since 94, whatever that equates to. And
I'm not going to count.
Yeah, I don't know. But, but you know, it's a family, and I don't care what your issue is, and we run across, I mean, that's why I'm doing this show. People, you know, think it's, you know, Rodney says when first contracted to do the show, he says, you want to do 30 minutes, you want to do an hour? And I said, well, heck, I teach one course, it's 16 hours, it's only part of it. You know, and I'm up to 70 shows, and I'm still, you know, doing stuff. And I learn too. It's the kind of business that you just continuously learn. And then what impresses me too is all the new technologies that's coming out, as opposed to what we used to, and your dad and your granddad, you know, the tools that we had. It's just incredible.
Absolutely.
And it's going faster. You know?
Yeah, there have been times and in pieces. I visit all my sites, of course, and I say this a little bit in jest, but with today's technology, I know everything about a piece of land before I ever physically put on. I mean, I know the topo, I know the patch, the percentage, the tree percentage, I know the type of trees, I know where the creeks are, I know how much flood there is, I know everything about it. I even have a development layout done sometimes before I ever see the property with my own eyes.
Absolutely.
And that's what technology can do.
Yeah, you know,
I've done.
And you'd soils and yields. And
soils work, yes, sir, all that.
And that's all coming together on some of these websites that I've been interviewing, too. You know, Terra Firma, MapRite, those are two incredible mapping sources.
Every day.
Then you got the acre.com, and you've got, I can't remember all the different ones that I've interviewed, but, you know, it's just coming down to a science of, I hope that technology doesn't go to the point where they don't need us experienced real estate agency realtors to facilitate. But, you know, paperless transactions, crowdfunding, artificial intelligence. I had two German guys on that's developing artificial intelligence formats for residential, and I'm actually consulting with them, helping them with the terminology and stuff, and helping them build the land side of that, which would be real interesting. They should probably be the first ones in the world, actually. that'll be have a part for the land brokerage side of the equation.
Sometimes I feel my intelligence is a little artificial.
Yeah, exactly. So when you and we have different philosophies, sorry, you know, and I actually haven't bought and sold developed land in a number of years because the market changed. But when I was doing it back in the mid-90s and late-90s and up into the early 2000s, you know, you would buy a piece of track of land, 50, 100 acres for maybe $2,000 an acre, but a 10-acre track was selling for $3,500 an acre, for example. And I created this format, and I had to have a 33% return after everything, after taxes were paid, after co-broke commissions were paid, survey, soil work, advertising, and that worked very well for me for a long time. I never did the owner financing. We'll save that to the second half of the show, but if you want to. But, you know, we just did straight out sales. I did some on my own. I had three partners on a couple tracks that we went in together. I was the agent, and of course they were investors. I've done quite a few vicariously for owners taking their property. Out of that, and I don't know if you've done this, but I created what's called flex property. And, you know, for example, I've got one track that it's 140 acres with road frontage on three sides and two parcels across the road on two separate roads. So they were both over 10 acres. One was 15 and one was 17. So I listed those as separate properties, but then I took the guts of it, which was almost a rectangle, and made it four parcels. So I designed it with MapRite or Terra Firma websites and establish a acreage on it and then establish a price on it. And then when the buyer comes up, and by the way, I put on all of my land transactions, I put the aerial topo floodplain map right there on the sign with the acreage and a QRC so they can pull up to the property, they can visualize where it is, and what it is, and they can go to the QRC. It takes you right to the MLS. So now they know the price, they know the features, and then if it's a larger piece, I'll do the drone GoPro and actually have a separate QRC for a land tour, call it Land Walk. And so now you can stand there at the property, look at the sign, know what it is, go to MLS, know what the price is, and then sit there with the drone tour with the aerial map beside the visual map with an arrow on the aerial map, so everywhere the camera is going and pointing, the arrow is directly in that particular part of the property, and the arrow is pointing where the camera lens is going. So you can sit there and preview. I sell property 4 hours, 5 hours away from my office. I don't have to be there.
Oh, yeah. Our signage and our terms kind of help sell us for it, but I don't go near to that amount of technology work. That's amazing. I imagine you must sell a lot. People don't have any questions. They just want to know what.
Well, it's vacant land, you know, unless there's animals on it or some particular situation, you know, go walk it. I mean, you know, what do you need me for? And
exactly.
But the flex property part of it is really the interesting part, because I may have like a 25-acre track, so noted, and the client gets there, whether I'm with them or not, or another agent. And they say, wow, you know, I'd really like to have a little bit more of the creek or stream, or I'd like to have a little more of the open area, or I'd like to have a little more or a little bit less, okay? Would you sell me 30 acres? You know, it's a 100-acre track. Or would you sell me 20 acres? And as long as it doesn't mess up what you got to sell, obviously, okay? Of course, it's called flex property. The buyers love it because they don't go out there, here's a corner, here's a corner, here's a corner, here's a corner. Do you want it or not? They get to establish the corners.
Oh, okay.
So the buyer actually gets to create the property they're buying. They pay for the survey. They pay for the survey. There's no surveying done prior to. This is just broken up on paper, okay, as you and I have done many times when we do developing, okay? But we go ahead and put that in the market and establish an acreage and establish a price, okay? But once they get on the property, and I've been doing this for a number of years, and what happens is I make a whole lot more money doing this, because less is more and more is less, okay? This last track, they had an appraisal on it of a $4,250 an acre, I sold the 15-acre tract for $12,000 an acre. I sold 23 acres for $6,850 an acre. I've got 70 acres left, and I've already made what the appraisal was for the whole thing.
That's the way you do business.
That's the way we like to do it, right?
Yeah, that's what we like to.
But, you know, that's something you may want to look at, too. It's, I've been using that for a number of years very successfully, and especially when you got the large tracts, because, you know, it's hard to find that buyer that's going to spend $300,000-$500,000 for a piece of land when the average person is looking for that, you know, $100,000-$200,000. So with the flex property, it kind of avails itself to that. It's just a different way of doing business.
Mm-hmm. When I find a piece and when I'm looking on the seller side, I look for lots of road front.
Mm-hmm.
If I find that, I won't sell it, you know, 30, 40, 50 acre tracts. I'll get down to that 5 acre tract. My philosophy is there's more people who can afford that. They can afford 50.
And you're also looking at the infrastructure, the old farm roads, which I use, you know. I'll just go
old,
in there.
Old farm roads.
And I call them starter roads. I'll go in and have them grade 12 feet and you know, put tile in or ditch it, obviously, appropriately. And then I'll come in with 10 feet of 3 inches of crush and run. It's called a starter road, and put a road maintenance mm-hmm. agreement on it. But I'll use the old farm roads. And then, of course, you use the topography, and then you use the features, you know, views, water. I'll take a pond, for example. I may split the pond into three tracks so that three tracks have a pond because you have riparian rights.
Yeah.
Streams will split in half or creeks.
Creeks are great to have the center of the creek, the property line. That way more people get to use
it. Everybody wants water, don't they?
They sure do. And they'll pay for it, which, you know,
yeah.
they should.
Yeah.
But they'll pay for a pond or a creek, even if it is just, you know, a portion of it.
But, you know, Jeff, something that's really the risk part of this is always risk is, I bought a 205-acre tract of land and broke it up and did the five-lot road frontage and then did the 10-plus acres. Some of it was some bottom lands, kind of wetlands, not officially wetlands, but not buildable. So I made like a 50-acre tract, and I had a 30, but most of them were 10-acre tracts using the old farm roads. And I sold it out in 18 months. And I went a quarter of a mile down the road and did a development for an owner that had a paved road coming in. So I did a major subdivision. You know, I had to go to the planning board to do the lots. But the rest of the farm, it was like 180 acres. I made 18 10-acre tracts, and several of them bordered a river. And it still had the old farm roads we improved. And, you know, this was, early 2000s. There's still three tracks that haven't sold. And I sold out, I mean, a quarter of a mile. And it was the same type property in the same community. I mean, how do you know this stuff? How do you know which one to pick and which one's going to be successful?
You don't really. I always look if there are rooftops around.
Okay.
And I know that's, and I can, again, back to technology. I'll look at Google Earth and I'll see the rooftops. And that means people are willing to live there.
Right.
So I take that as a good sign. Then look at, you know, how far is it from Publix, Walmart?
Hospitals.
Hospitals,
yeah.
Schools.
Yeah. School districts.
And, right. It's risk. Fortunately, I have never gotten really just, messed up on one. Everything will sell.
Yeah, eventually everything does. There's a
tip. Sometimes it takes a little longer.
Yeah.
But there's a piece of property, and it's made for anybody. So I'm just been fortunate that it hasn't really come back and bit me on that development side.
Now, are you doing all this development in Georgia, or are you doing it in some of the other states, too?
Oh, no, I do Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee.
Okay.
Are my main, and I'm kind of backing out of South Carolina, and only because I live in Nashville, so it takes a good bit of time to get down. We were in, what's it called? Aiken County, and the Greenville-Spartanburg area.
Right.
And from Nashville, well, it's just a long way.
Yeah, it is.
And my truck goes to Atlanta, but I have to go through Atlanta to get to Greenville-Spartanburg from Nashville. So that's just a time thing. So, but I Nashville market, which I consider between Chattanooga and Nashville.
We're talking to Jeff Huddle. This is Let's Talk Land. So, Jeff, you know, you have two companies, one the traditional real estate store. How many agents you have working for you in the tennis? Well, that's good. There's three of you, me, myself, and I, right?
That's correct. I've always been that way. I've enjoyed other people, but you want something done right, you do it yourself. And so,
bingo.
I don't want to manage people. I like selling dirt. So it takes the fun out of it if I have to worry about what somebody else is doing.
So in both operations, it's you, right?
Everything's me.
Wow.
Everything's me.
Do you sleep at night? Do you get some time off once in a while? Or
every once in a while. Yeah. Every once in a while. But that I say it's all on me. That's on my broker's firm. Now, my development company, I have a staff. And it takes a staff. I couldn't do it without them.
Right.
They're the best I can find. That's the Georgia business.
Yeah.
That's the one we're going to talk about next.
Yeah. So people call all the time over the years I've been in business, you know, well, you own a finance. You know, I'm looking for land. You know, anybody who would own a finance. And houses, too. But I just never got involved in it. I don't know anybody around here. And I think you have something to give with your experience and history of what you've been doing, the goods, the bads. And, you know, let's talk about this because this could help some people because a lot of people are afraid of it because they don't understand it. So I'm turning the light on. Head for it.
The owner finance. Yeah, well, it is just what it sounds like. You know, for those that don't know, it's when the seller of the property will basically give you a loan to buy their property. And it's got great advantages, especially as a buyer. From the buyer's side, if I'm the seller and the banker, I'm giving them the loan. I don't have to, and I don't in my business. You know, you've seen the list, Luke. There's appraisal fees, doc fees,
point
brokers fees,
down payment
fees, all that stuff. I get to control that as the seller and the banker. So that helps me help someone else get into a piece of property. It's super quick and easy. There's no reason for it to be long and drawn out. There's no appraisals to wait on. There's no credit checks to do, although I guess you could. I don't. I kind of take my grandfather's philosophy. You take a man for his word.
No handshake.
Unfortunately, we can't do a handshake. You have to have a contract.
Right.
But all I have to do is, if he tells me he's going to pay me, I believe he's going to pay me until he doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's methods, you know, tucked away for those that don't pay. But for the most part, I mean, people don't have a problem paying for it. They're out here because they really want something. And they like it when they get the owner financing because it makes it easy. And I give them immediate possession of the property. Once they give the down payment, I tell them, you're free to roam about the property all you'd like. Put a sign on it. Put your name on it. Make it, you know, no trespassing, whatever you want to do. Because in my mind right there, it is there. Just like if you buy a home, you know, most people buy a home, they have a mortgage. Well, they get to call it their home.
Right.
They get to go in and live in the home. They still owe money on it, but man, same way. So it makes it easier to do, cheaper to do for the buyer. For the seller, you know, for me, there's some stuff that you get, you know, like tax benefits. You can usually get a little better interest rate, create a cash flow, which is kind of what my business is based on. It's just reoccurring cash flow.
Mailbox money.
Mailbox money, that is nice, but it all goes away because there's a lot of expenses behind it, too. And then cons. I mean, there are things that are. Now, I can't really think of any cons for the seller, or excuse me, for the buyer,
right?
Because they want a piece of property, and I'm willing to finance them, so they get it. That's kind of all good. But you know, a buyer, like I mentioned earlier, they can default. They cannot make their payment, and so I have three different ways to alleviate that situation.
Okay.
Well, I guess four. One, they can pay me.
Right.
Two, in my paperwork, I have it written so if they don't make their first three payments, we can just cancel the contract. So sometimes, I'll admit, I can make it so easy that someone's like, no, I probably really shouldn't have done that. And I get it, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'll let you out.
Contract. Yeah, just let you out. But if I've deeded it to you already, and after three payments, I'll deed it to you, then we have two options.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Step back there for a second.
Okay.
I want to go buy one of your pieces of property. We'll talk about numbers, but I write you a check, a deposit. I now can move on the land, okay?
Okay.
Are you not giving them a deed of trust at that point, or are you saying you wait three payments and then give them a deed of trust?
I wait three payments. I want them to have a little skin in the game.
Okay, so that's almost like their down payment equity.
That's correct.
Interesting.
So once they get on the property and I deed it to them, if they then decide they're not going to pay me, then, again, I can work with you. If you want to get out, I can say, well, we can do that, but it's going to cost me some money now. I've got to do a title search,
right,
make sure you haven't done anything to encumber the property. And then I can do a deed in lieu of foreclosure. You can just deed it back to me, so I call it a deed back.
Right.
Deed it back to me. And if they don't want to do that, or if they're not wanting to communicate at that point in time, you know, there's a legal system set up where I have to go to the foreclosure process.
Right.
But that's the last result because, hey, I don't like the word. That's the F word to me.
Yep, it is.
And so I have to do the foreclosure, and that costs me money, and it messes with them. They're advertising the paper, and that's embarrassing to folks. So we do whatever we can with them, but that's one of the cons. They shouldn't, but another thing they can do, and I had it happen before, but we've got it in our deed down to protect it. They'll cut the timber.
Right.
We've got to come in and go buy an old planted pine plantation of, you know, 10 or 15 acres for me, and I'll go out 3 weeks later, and there's not a tree on it.
Right.
Now, there's things that should happen. Timber companies are supposed to know if there's a loan against the property and contact them and all that, but doesn't always happen that way. So that's a con to me. And, you know, if someone were to come out there and cut the timber and then not pay me,
right?
Now I'm really hurting.
Yeah, you are. You appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
And then, you know, if I have to, if I did something we spoke of earlier, I bought something in the wrong place and I'm not moving them and I'm having to lower my price, getting it closer to my basis in the property,
mm-hmm,
then I'm moving property and not a whole lot of profit, taking me forever to,
right,
get any money back. I mean, I guess the good news of that, there's no capital gains tax. We're not making,
right,
any money.
No, that's true.
But that's,
we could have capital loss too. But so are you,
yeah,
on these projects, are you actually going ahead and buying and paying for the property? Are you financing it and then using the sales mailbox money to pay your mortgage payment?
Both. It depends. If it's a larger deal, that's just takes a lot of capital. Like I'm doing 315 acres right now in Tennessee.
Okay.
And I'm going to the bank, and I have a mortgage on it. And the bank and I, all of my loans are subject to the master mortgage that I've created with my bank.
Right.
They and I have pre-negotiated a partial release of my mortgage. So
was that usually 80%?
Well, no. Typically, it depends on.
I'm talking about a release deed.
Release,
yeah,
for
release.
What I got. The release fee is whatever I have in it. If they buy, let's just use some round numbers. I have $2,000 an acre into the development. It's a 5-acre tract. They have $10,000 what their lot is my cost.
Okay.
I give the bank $10,000.
I got you.
And then they'll release it. Because sometimes I do get, although I offer the financing, a lot of people will get the financing to secure the lot, to say, this is what I want. I want to make sure no one else gets it. And then they go to the bank and build a house or get a manufactured housing to take out there, then their lender pays me off.
Gotcha.
So I have to pre-negotiate that release
sure.
with my bank.
Yeah, you're subordinating the lots, what we call it.
That's correct.
Right. Until the construction and CO's done, and then the master mortgage is buying you out and paying for the construction.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of your sales do you have to use item number 3 and maybe item number 4?
No. You know, I don't really haven't really know the percentage of it. It's not as often as you would think. A large majority of my customers pay me. But those that don't, I guess I could say we've been doing this now since 1969. So we've got a long history. So we're kind of always in the process of a little bit of everything.
Right.
I've always got new developments coming. I've always selling the last lot in an older one. I've got people paying off their land with their very last payment. And so, and in between that, I have some defects going on. Always got some foreclosures going on, but I've never really counted them.
But it's very small, very, very small. It's not a...
I'd say small percentage. Yeah. It is. Again, because I'm working with them. The last thing I want to do is set a fella out. He wants it, and I want him to have it. It doesn't
sure
do me any good to have it. But I do have to get his payment.
Right.
So now...
If somebody goes in and buys a lot and they build a house or they improve it, and then you have to foreclose on them, you keep the improvements, right?
Well, by law, they become mine.
That's right.
But they've been attached to the property they do, and it happens very, very few times. And sometimes the improvements are a headache. And I'll give you an example. I had a place down in Jasper County, Georgia, about 4 or 5 years ago. He was paying me for his property. He was paying, I believe it was Green Tree Financial, for his own payment. And he'd been paying along for years. Everything was great. And all of a sudden, he was quit paying. You know, we went through the process. We tried to communicate with him and see what was going on, see if we could help him. We refinanced people in the past to kind of, you know, help them get that payment lowered. If they were a good customer, and he was, and all of a sudden, no communication, so we end up having to foreclose. Sure enough, there's a house on the property with, you know, septic tank, a well, driveway, culvert, pipe, all that. But the house was gutted. There wasn't a kitchen cabinet in it. There wasn't a fixture in it. The toilets were even taken out of it, and it was nothing.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
But the bank had a note on it. So we called the bank and said, you need to come get your collateral off my property because it's now mine again. And they said, we don't want it.
Yeah. What are we going to do with it?
Like, no, but I don't want it either. They said, we don't have to come get it. We're just abandoning our collateral. So that cost me about $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 cash because I have to get the house. I have to get it out of there.
Right.
Unfortunately, I know it takes 5 30-yard dumpsters to fold up a double wide.
You know that by experience.
By experience, and I know because I've done it. And I've only had to do it once like that.
Right.
In all these years, usually the banks are good at getting it, or every once I think I did have another one, but I had somebody come in and offer to buy it. They remodeled the whole thing, and they saved money. They thought so.
So this really creates a lot of flexibility for the. For not only the buyer, but also for you in terms of negotiating.
Oh, absolutely. When you're financing something, and this is, again, I say this just because not everybody knows, you have a loan amount, you have an interest rate, and you have a term. And those three items create the payment and an amortization schedule. So if someone tells me, because, let's just be honest, some people, they have to, $250 a month is too much for me. I can do $200. So I have, as the seller and the bank, I have the option of changing the interest rate, stretching out the term, lowering the loan amount to make that payment fit their budget. And so we do a lot of that. We have prices we set, but In the end, I can create my income through interest, through principal, and through time. And time is the time value of money. You did lots of schooling with when you got your ALC. That's a powerful tool.
Absolutely.
In lending.
Yep.
So I do. I mean, nine out of ten customers, they can't believe they can buy it for what I'm selling it for their payment.
But hey, you go to your website, you think it's a scam, you know, like they used to do out west in the desert, you know.
I get that. People have called the office.
Is this for real? I mean, you guys, am I looking? Did you leave a zero off? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, that, and they tell me they're going to report me. I'm like, report me for what?
Right.
For what you're telling me, you can't do this. And I'm like, I can. And we have for about 50 years. The BBB, we have an A++ rating. I mean, I'm not sure what else you want to hear from me. And they finally get it, and then they're super thankful.
Yeah.
Because some people
probably turn into some pretty good customers.
Oh, yeah. We've got it. This has happened now time and time again. But, you know, since my grandfather and my father started all this back in the 60s, we have had incidents before my dad passed. He was able to finance the son of a family that he financed that grew up on a lot. They owned it, you know, and they still owned it. And the son got old enough and went out on his own. And he came to my dad and said, I want to buy a piece of property from you.
Wow.
And he showed him what he had in inventory, and he bought it. He took a lot of pride in the fact that he was able to finance to a person that was raised on a piece.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Their family. Yeah.
You know, one thing too, and when I have gotten involved in these owner finance situations, very few, but I always advise my buyer, because usually I'm representing the buyer. You know, because the person's allowing you to work with them, you probably want to pay them full price or close to it, and you should pay them more interest. I know, you know, land loans right now probably around 6.5%. I haven't checked in a while. You know, so you know, usually I was looking at one of yours. You were like 7.5%. Is that right?
Yes, 7.9.
7.9. So because you're accommodating this and facilitating this type of purchase. You know, I think you have a right to get a higher price. This is my opinion. You can tell me if I'm wrong. And also have someone pay you a little bit more interest for the risk and the time and the effort that you got involved in it.
That is certainly a train of thought that people have. The biggest thing on this is the down payment.
Right.
You know, a land-only loan is considered one of the easiest loans to walk away from. In the traditional bank.
Well, that's why what they call it, the 5-acre rule, farm credit, is probably the biggest lender. I mean, there's others out there, but they're the ones that, you know, they're all over the United States, and I could go a whole story about them. I've done millions and millions and millions of dollars with an incredible program. But the banking industry, they don't like land. They want brick and mortar.
The concept
is if you have a home and a mortgage, and then you go out and you buy land, and you can only make one mortgage payment, you're probably going to make the payment where your tail sleeps and let the other one go.
Right.
So there's more risk. I mean, it's just it's been a business forever. And they're going to charge more. So if interest rates for a home right now is 4% conventional loan, you know, usually it's going to be 2 basis points higher, 6%. You know, I don't care where you go.
But then they're going to want 30% down.
Or 20. Farm credit, we used to do 15. Then they went to 20 in this local market. Now, that's different around. And now they're at 25%, you know, because the board of directors said we want to cut our risk. And
So if you want to buy a $30,000 5-acre tract of land, you need to have $7,500.
Yeah, plus your closing costs.
Plus closing costs. I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of hardworking Americans out there that do not have $7,500 plus the closing costs in their pocket.
That's right.
And so we offer people the opportunity to buy without all that extra overhead. And yes, our interest rate might be a point higher, a point and a half higher. In some cases, it may not be. But the down payment requirements are always going to be a lot lower.
And then the credit check, too. You know, I've had people over the years that make $200,000 and $300,000 a year. but because of a divorce or because of an illness or because of some reason, you know, their credit's wrecked. I mean, they're 500 Beacon score, but they're making $200,000 and $300,000 a year, and they can't finance a dime.
Yeah. Well, they can with me because, like I said earlier, I don't set credit because that is very scenario. There are a lot of people out there that have just a bad luck of the draw, and especially in the case of an illness. And they get a bunch of hospital bills, and they can't pay them. They even have to file bankrupt sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
All because somebody got sick. And so I certainly don't take advantage of those folks. I try to help them out when I can because we all need a break.
And the other thing I like, too, I'm just reading off your website, easy access to the property. Most owner-financed land deals allow you to use the land right away, even though you have not paid for it in full. This means as soon as you signed the contract and paid your deposit, which you're not even asking for a deposit, other than your three payments, I'm assuming that would be your deposit, you're allowed to go and camp on it, ride on an ATV, bring a mountain, whatever you want to do. It's yours.
We call it immediate possession.
Yeah, I love that.
Once you sign the little we have a simple, really it's a one-page contract. And this one, it's got a lot of information on it, but it's one page.
Sure.
And once you sign that, we give you possession because, you know, like I said, we told us you're going to pay for it. We believe you. Go have fun.
Let me ask you something. In these rural areas, are you going ahead and doing the soil work for septic, or are you letting?
I have. Used to be not quite as much, but here lately I do. I'm doing one in Millersville, Georgia right now, and I just got my soil stamp got done. And
okay.
So I did basically a level 3 soil dig across the entire property on a grid system. So I was making sure that everybody would have a workable lot.
Exactly. So that in rural areas, that's important. I don't even sell land unless either have a full-blown perk test done by the county or what we call a preliminary, which is a 5-year, you know, you haven't put the system in, but they identify the area, or my soil scientist writes an affidavit, or my attorney drew up an affidavit saying that you were advised to do so, and you waive your rights, and you therefore hold everyone that's party to this transaction harmless. So that's only three ways I'll be involved in a land transaction.
Well, I've had a couple throughout the years, and really just two or three lots that, for whatever reason, just sloped were too extreme, or the rock was too much, or there was a creek that was, you know, made it impossible to get a septic tank on. And I, you know, if someone had bought one and they find out that that's the case, I don't penalize them. I just tell them, well,
go pick out another lot.
Pick out another lot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why now I do a level 3 on every lot, every proposed lot. That way I don't have to worry about that again.
Yep,
because, exactly. You know, that can be an expensive lesson.
Absolutely.
Now, that's another one of the cons of being a developer. If you don't do that, you know, I spent probably $20,000 getting all this done. But I know now I'm not going to lose three $30,000 lots.
Right.
So that's an important step to take. And also, when someone says, "Now, did you perk my lot?" I can say with 100% certainty, yes, I did.
Well, the soil scientist Joe Hinton, and I've interviewed him on the show, but 30 years, actually more than that. But he's who I started with, and after my second subdivision, he gave me one of his old augers, and I've been on every. Well, when I buy land, I go out and hand auger myself. When I take a client out to preview a land, and we'll pick a site. I'll go ahead and do hand augering and preliminary before the county even gets involved. I've done it. I've probably done over 1,000 of them, I'm sure. And I teach my students how to do that. It's kind of funny when I teach and I have time and I'm not on an airplane. I'm driving. I take my auger with me, and during one of the breaks, I'll go up and set a mock perk test up. And, you know, they get more out of that than anything else I teach in class. It's crazy. That's the number one thing that I get feedback on is the illustration. Then I get in a diagram and show them what I'm doing. But it's really fun.
Well, that's not surprising. Of all those classes I took for my ALC, my favorite class was the Timberland class. We went outside with Biltmore stick and started aging trees and coring them and getting and doing their height with the Biltmore stick and the
hands-on.
Hands-on. Yeah, it was the hands-on experience is the best thing.
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you, but I have a what's called Land 101 Survival Kit, and I talk about all the different people that you're involved with during a land transaction. You know, you want a land attorney, not just an attorney. You want a soil scientist. You want the county you work with, the government, but all the ones, and then what that role is. And then I put in there a comment, if you can't call these people at home at night, you don't have the right relationship with them. So it's part of your team. You got to build a team in this business. So you don't do it by yourself and with reliable sources. With just a few minutes left, tell us about three things you want to leave your listening audience with today about you and your company and what we've talked about.
Well, we mentioned a little bit, but I'll say it. We sell at hurdle.com is our website. And hurdle.com will give you anything you need to know about any of our properties, flat, map, pricing, payment, the whole nine yards. But all of our lots that we sell, no matter their size, $295 down. I'll finance the balance up to a 360-month note. But you can choose whatever term you want to choose, as long as it fits in your budget, but no more than 360 months. And they're all 7.9%. And everybody that walks in doors qualified.
Opal Joe, the walking man's friend. That was an old, when I grew up in Charlotte, there was this old used car lot. That was the TV commercial. This is Opal Joe, the walking man's friend. Just come on in, and I'll give you the keys.
Well, I don't give you keys, but I give you a deed. And that's the other thing. The reason I do this, I feel comfortable doing it, you're not going to drive this piece of property anywhere. There's not many things you can do to it to screw it up. And so there's methods in place if you don't pay. Well, they say you don't pay, you don't stay. So that's why I feel comfortable doing it, and the fact that we've done it. We've got a proven track record for now 50 years. 50 years we've done this.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, a lot of people want to get into rental homes, property management, flippers, you know. And it's land is so much different. You got to realize it out there. You know, you go get it's a different world, isn't it?
It's a totally different world. This is an asset that certainly is appreciating in value. You know, not that a house flipping wouldn't, but you can buy your land and just sit on it, and it'll more than likely be worth more one day. Something else I'll do, if I've got someone living paying on their note for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, they decide they want to sell it, their loan's totally assumable.
Right.
They settle up any equity they have with their buyer, and I'll let them assume their note. No questions asked.
Now, I like that feature.
Yeah, that's a great feature, and it gets used quite a bit. I help them figure out what their equity is, too, if they need to know. So it's a business I've enjoyed, and it's the only business I've ever been in.
It's a gift from your family. What a wonderful gift.
It sure is, and I'm hoping I can let my family take it on when I go.
There are not many people out there doing this, are there?
Not really. Not.
I mean, you're the first one identified. I mean, I wanted to have you on my show anyway, but specifically about this topic. I just haven't.
Well, I mean, there's other guys out there that do it, and there's some guys that, you know, quote, wrote the book. In fact, I believe Tom Brinkman wrote a book on it.
Yeah, he did.
But it's a business model, and it's a good model. You can't just jump into it real quick. There's a lot of tax codes you have to know and understand, which I'm not going to bore the listeners with or you, about if you considered a dealer or not, which I am. And so there's certain taxes you have to pay, and there's a whole lot to it. So once you get your arms wrapped around it and your mind, and you get a business model and process to set in place, it's just another way to do business.
Jeff, you've been a great guest today. This is Jeff Huddle with the Huddle Land Company. Make sure you go to his website, check him out. He's got something very interesting to help you out in the areas, and you can give me a call, too. Maybe we can do some of that around here. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. So on the letstalkland.net site, Jeff, they can go on there, and I'm just putting your email address, not your phone number, okay? But hopefully that if anyone does contact you, you'll take care of them. This show is for the public, but most importantly for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All shows are after broadcast or downloaded on letstalkland.name, Podbean, Spotify. My email is Lou, L-O-U, at mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405. Rodney, how do they get to us here?
Well, Lou, they can go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com. Email us there for the Land Show Pro and hear you every Saturday morning from 9 till 10.
And we have an app, right?
Yeah, that's right. The Simple Radio app. You can download and listen to us anywhere in the world.
And who are we? What are we?
We are the number one beach and oldies radio station for 5 years in a row.
And congratulations, you were the DJ, right?
That's right. Yeah, Reader's Choice DJ of the Year.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
How do you like that radio voice?
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, let's listen to Dr. Barbie. Let's talk land. Have a good evening.